Hey everybody, good morning. Wow, jeepers. We just got back into town Thursday night late from our trip to Colorado, which I'll tell you a little bit more about down the road here, not today, but needless to say, we had a great time out in Estes Park and saw some lives pretty significantly impacted by what it is we had the opportunity to do. So thank you. Thank you, church, for sending us. Thanks for giving us the freedom to go and do good things for the sake of Jesus in the world around us. All right, our sermon series today, Got Questions. This series has its roots in my days working at the Bible camp. We still do this with our students downstairs on occasion. And really, the question box is something that we use, and we ask kids or adults, as the case may be, any questions that you've got. Regarding life, love, faith, God, church, whatever. Nothing is off limits. You can put your question in the box. And typically, like Tina said earlier, typically what we do is we do it on the spot. We give them 10 minutes to fill out these questions, and then you just start pulling them out of the bucket. And it's kind of fun when you get a panel of people because, to get some different views and opinions. And the questions oftentimes range from silly, what's your most embarrassing moment, things like that, to some very, very heavy kind of serious questions. And I've been pretty impressed. Somebody told me this morning they thought we were a little crazy for trying this. They thought there's no way this is going to work. And we've had some really kind of heavy questions, much heavier questions than even I expected from you guys when it came to what it is that that you put in the box. So I'm excited to see where this will go. An interesting thing is when you give people the opportunity to ask questions about faith-related things, generally speaking, they kind of start to tie together. So in looking through the questions that I've gotten over the last month, they can get lumped into certain things, which I think is pretty normal for people when it comes to faith-related questions. So the way that I see this working is I'm going to try to answer a couple questions a day, because those questions generally tie together. So with no further ado, we're going to start. So would you do this with me? Let's pray real quick one more time, and then we'll kick this off. Father, we thank you for the chance to be here together. God, would you speak to our hearts, and would you be glorified in the midst of this, Lord? I think it's human and it's natural to ask questions. And God, you're amazing in that you reveal yourself to us, and yet you remain mysterious and unknown. Father, would you use this time to draw us closer to your heart? Would you help us see you and come to know you just a little bit more closely, a little bit better today? In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, all right. Do we have sermon slides by any chance? Okay, if you can get them, that'd be great. Our first question today, we're going to tackle actually three questions, and I got one this morning, which kind of blew my mind. Like I say, I was out of town. I didn't have a chance to peek at them before I got here this morning. Our first question today is this. I'm having a hard time believing in God. What do I do to help that? That's a great question. And along those same lines, this question was waiting for me this morning. This question says, and here's the proof that these are actual real questions, not questions I made up. So, this is a legit deal. Is it okay to be mad at God when things happen and we don't understand why? Well, I'm going to put those two together. Because I think one of the things that is beautiful about faith, and one of the things that's beautiful about being human, is that we have emotions. And frankly, I believe that it's perfectly fine to be upset with God. I believe it's perfectly fine to admit that, you know what, sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we're not sure about how this whole faith things work. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's probably been times in all of our lives when we've wondered just a little bit, are you really out there? Is he really out there? Well, in answering the first question, I'm having a hard time believing in God, what do I do to help that? The thing that comes to mind for me is this. It might sound kind of counterintuitive, but I think the best way to make it through those seasons of doubt, and I call those the desert of doubt. I call those the desert of doubt. I can think of times in my life when I have wondered, when I felt like God was far from me. It feels like you're in a desert. Nothing but sand, Sun's beating down on you, and you're not exactly sure, am I alone out here? How am I going to make it through this? I think the best thing, the thing that I've learned in those seasons of doubt, the best thing that I can do is actually to talk to God about that. Like I said before, God wants us to be honest. God doesn't want the Sunday school answer just to say, well, I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to just believe as I go through these things. But rather, I believe that God wants us to come to Him and say, where are you? Why can I not feel you close? Why am I going through this? Lord, I'm not sure. Would you help me? Scripture that came to mind last night as I was thinking about this, we were talking about it at home, is the Father who comes to Jesus. I got to find it. Where's it at? I marked it this morning. It's in from Mark. The Father who brings His Son to Jesus, who's got an evil spirit, and He says this to Jesus. He says, from childhood, okay, let me back up. And so they brought the boy. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell on the ground and rolled around and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? This is from Mark chapter 9, by the way. From childhood, the father answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And I love that. The father has brought the boy to Jesus. Faith, I believe, motivates the father to bring him. But at the same time, he says to Jesus, if you can help him. There's that little shred of doubt in the midst of it. And Jesus' reply, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. That's a big statement. Everything is possible for him who believes. Okay? If you're like me, even now, that little flicker of doubt begins to well up. And it says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I love that. I cannot tell you how many times I have prayed that exact prayer. As a guy who does this for a living, as a guy who's followed Jesus for the majority of my life, over half now, there are still seasons where I feel like I'm in the desert, where I feel like God is far from me, where I feel like this little girl, and I know who asked this question because she signed her name, I'm having a hard time believing. What can I do to help that? Doubt, I think, is a natural human emotion. It's a normal, it's a human reaction. It's something that all of us deal with. And the best thing to do, I believe, during those seasons of doubt is not to necessarily be afraid that God has left us, to be afraid that our doubt is somehow undermining our faith, but rather to talk to Him about that and say, just like the Father in Luke chapter 9, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Another scripture that pops to mind, and this one is in your bulletin, comes from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And this is set in a time in which Jeremiah is in prison. And if I remember correctly, he is in prison, put there by Zedekiah, who was the king of Judah at the time, and during a season in which Jerusalem was under siege. And this scripture, the heading in my Bible says, the promise of restoration, Israel, that the people of God have been under siege and put in prison and persecuted and all these things for some time. And the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah in the midst of this, offering a promise of restoration. Kind of one of those moments where this will happen, but guess what? You're going to have some pretty nasty stuff to go through before that happens. Right? And that's how the promise of God works sometimes. Sometimes we have to go through that desert, that feeling that He's not close, those seasons where we wonder, where are you? Why are you not taking care of me? And in the midst of that season of life, and I can only imagine what that must have been like for them, believing, knowing that they were God's chosen people, and at the same time facing struggle, persecution, I can only imagine the doubt that may have crept into their minds. And the Lord says through Jeremiah, call to me. Can't you see that? Call to me and I will answer you. I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you did not know. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. God tells them it's going to get worse before it gets better. This is going to be hard, but call out to me and I will answer. More than that, I'll show you amazing things, things that you cannot begin to fathom on your own. And for me, that has been great comfort in those seasons of doubt, believing that when God makes an I will statement, you can take that to the bank. When God says He will do something, He will do it. Even in those seasons of doubt, in that time in the desert of my own life, when I've called out to God and said, "Where are you? Lord, I need you close." He promises to be with us, even if we can't always feel Him or see Him. God says, "When you call to me, I will answer you. And more than that, I'm going to blow your mind with the things that you will experience. I know it's hard now, but I will be with you." I believe that God wants to shepherd us through those seasons of doubt rather than leave us out there on our own. Faith demands that we believe that He is there and that He's speaking even in those seasons when we cannot hear His voice clearly, when we can't see Him, when we can't feel Him close to us. Jesus wants to hear from us. He wants us to speak to Him in the good times, in the bad times, in the seasons of faith that can move mountains, and in the seasons of doubt, when we feel like we're out there on the sand by ourselves and our feet are starting to cook because it's so hot. He wants to hear from us, and He wants us to be honest. Can we be angry with God? Oh yeah. If anybody's shoulders can handle it, it's His. Jesus wants us. Baggage, victories, failures, He wants it all. He wants us to be who He created us to be. And He wants to hear from us whether we're having seasons of tremendous faith or seasons of tremendous doubt. This summer's been pretty crazy for my family. We've had the chance to hang out at the Bible camp up in Story City for most of June, actually. It was kind of fun. I had the opportunity to speak for a couple weeks up there to junior high kids. In the midst of it, our son got to go to camp for a full week for the first time. So it was kind of like Osborne month at Riverside. And I think they were glad to see us go. And the first week we were there, Carrie and the kids got to go with. And they do this amazing thing in the mornings after breakfast, and they release all the campers to go find a quiet place at the camp, and they call it God time. You know, you can read your Bible, you can write, you can pray. Well, I went to the staff meeting that morning to talk to the staff and kind of just be part of what it was that they were doing, and so Carrie took the kids back to the cabin, and they were going to do some God time on their own. And Emerson, I hope it's okay that I tell this story. Yeah, she's hiding her face. But my family made an appearance at 8 o'clock this morning because Carrie's singing the Redeemer. It's kind of fun. So if they took your seat, I'm sorry. Here's the thing. Emerson starts writing in her little journal during God time. And it was great. And Carrie sent me a picture of this message during the staff meeting because it was so fabulous. And Emerson started writing, and she wrote, "Dear God, thank you so much. We're having fun at Riverside. It's great to be here." She said, "I have a question. Do you like Egg McRiversides?" And what an Egg McRiverside is, like an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's, but they make them at Riverside, so they call them Egg McRiversides. We'd had them for breakfast that morning, and so Emerson thought it was a great time to ask God whether or not He liked Egg McRiversides. And I'm convinced that the answer is yes, because who would not like Egg McRiversides? If you had them, you would love them. But the beautiful thing about this is God wants us to talk to Him like we would talk to a friend. I got a hunch that you're not afraid to tell your friends, "Man, I'm really struggling with this. There's times when I really doubt." God wants us to speak to Him like we would speak to our friends. It doesn't have to be churchy. It doesn't have to be formal. God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear and be with you in the midst of those gut-level emotions. Times when you're so happy you could sing, and the times when all you can do is cry out, "Ugh," and let the Spirit do its work. That's the beautiful thing. Luke 11:5-10, ask, seek, knock, and Jesus promises you'll find. Don't be afraid to ask God to show you His face. Don't be afraid to ask God to be with you in those seasons of doubt. Don't be afraid to tell him you're good and ticked off at him. I believe that Jesus is always with us, always speaking to us when things are good, when they're bad. Like I said before, when we have the faith that can move those mountains in the distance, and when we feel like we're all alone in those seasons of doubt. And that brings us actually to our second question. I'm going to skip through some pictures. Wait, there we go. What do you say to someone who tells you that they have prayed very hard for God to help with something, but they cannot hear him? What are different ways that God can speak to them, or what are different ways that God speaks to us? Another great question. Let me, and this is the interactive part of the program this morning. How many of you believe that God still speaks to us today? Show of hands. How many people believe that God still speaks to us today? Okay. Well, all right. Here's the second question. This is where I'm going to ask you to step out a little bit. How many of you believe that God has spoken to you specifically about something in your life? How many of you feel like God has spoken directly to you about something? All right. Wow, more people than I expected. Here's the thing. This is an issue for some circles. Some people believe that God has stopped speaking, right? They stopped, that his revelation stopped with Scripture, and that God is done. Everything he has to say to people is said here. I don't believe that for a second. I believe that God is constantly still speaking to his people all the time. I don't believe that his revelation to his people has stopped. I think instead, sometimes it's kind of hard to hear God's voice. Another a little story about that. All right, these are our dogs, right? I've talked about Evie before, the brown one on the stage on the right hand side as you're looking at the screens. When we first got Evie, we took her to obedience school. I took her to obedience school because I needed help. This dog was my idea, and I thought, well, I could train this dog. Well, it was very evident immediately that I was not going to be able to handle her on my own, so I took her to obedience school. We walked in that first night, and I'm all excited. You know, she's my dog, and she's a great dog. And the teacher's first words were, wow. She watched my dog begin to interact with the other dogs, and it was all I could do to hang on to her. And the teacher was like, we have our hands full with this dog. And needless to say, we spent the majority of 6 weeks kind of off in the corner by ourselves. You know, the teacher would show us what to do, and then I'd walk Evie over to the corner away from everybody else, and we'd start working on what it is that we were supposed to be working on. Well, little by little, we made some steps. And finally, it came to the last night. And this the gauntlet, right? The last night of obedience school was the night that you put your dog through their paces. And basically, she has to show that she can do all of the things that we've learned in class. Okay, so we've been practicing at home, and I was really nervous about this. And we go through all of the different things, and we finally come to the gauntlet, right? And it's this thing where she has to walk on my side, and we walk, you know, do all the things. You know, we do a sit, we do a long sit, we do a lay down, and finally it comes to the long stay, which is what I'll call it. So I walk Evie. Imagine if I walk back to the end of the sanctuary right here, and I have her sit, right? And I unhook her leash, and she's sitting on this pillow, okay? And the teacher had all the other dogs and their owners line up in a tunnel sort of thing down the middle, right? And she slid everybody back a few feet because she knew, she gave us some concessions. And Evie's back at the kennel at the end of the sanctuary. And I walk back down here, I'm thinking, this is going to be a mess, because if she darts either side, then we got dogs all over the place, it's going to be crazy. And so finally, I walk away from her, and I come to the end, and my dog is still sitting down there. And I kneel down, and I'm like, come on, girl. And she flies right to me, like a rocket, an 80-pound little brown hairy rocket. And she comes right to me, and she's so excited, and I scoop her up in my arms, sort of, and she's all excited, I give her treats. And I'm like, yes, we did it! And we did not pass the class. The teacher's like, no, you got more work to do. But, I was so excited. What joy in my heart. Because here's what happened. In the midst of all of the distractions around her, she heard my voice. And she came to me. She wanted to be with me in the midst of all of the other distractions going on around her. When I think about hearing God speak to us today, I think about all of the other voices that are vying for our attention. I think about the voices that are influential in my life, the voices of my family, the voices of my friends, the voices of the people, the books that I read, the voices of the music that I listen to. If you look, if you think about it, and take a moment just to think about this, what are the voices that are influential in your life? Chances are there's a lot more of them than you think. There are voices that are constantly vying for our attention, voices that are speaking into our lives, right on down to the brands that we buy. You go home and look in your refrigerator, or you look in your clothes closet or whatever else, there's a good chance that those are voices that are influencing how you look at the world, how you do life on a daily basis. Now, with all of these other voices competing for us, all these other voices trying to influence us, we have the voice of God speaking to us in the midst of it as well. And if your life is anything like mine, there's a lot of times that his voice gets drowned out by those other voices. Just like my dog in the gauntlet, in the tunnel of chaos there, all these other distractions. Somehow she heard my voice and came right to me. God is speaking to us all the time. The question, you know, somebody's praying and asking God to help. How do we hear his voice? How do we hear his voice better? You know, I think he's speaking all the time, but we're surrounded by distractions that keep us at times from hearing the voice of Christ. Now, one of my favorite God speaks stories is from the Old Testament. It's from 1 Kings chapter 19 about a guy named Elijah. Elijah was a prophet, a guy who God had spoke to and spoke through frequently. And this little passage, these little short verses come at the end of a pretty significant event. Elijah, King Ahab, Queen Jezebel, he'd basically gone to them and said, look, the gods that you're worshiping are false gods, and I'm going to make a fool of all of your priests. And they have this big kind of throwdown, if you will, and Ahab and Jezebel, is it Ahab? I think it's Ahab. They basically, what ends up happening is Elijah is proved right. God comes and makes a fool of these priests and makes it clear that the gods that they are worshiping are false. Well, you can only imagine, the king and the queen want Elijah dead because he made him look silly. So Elijah is running for his life at this point. And this passage, when we get to chapter 19, starting in verse 9, Elijah is in a cave up on the side of Mount Horeb. All right, he's running for his life, ends up on the side of a mountain in a cave. And there, God shows up and he speaks to Elijah. And I'm just going to read the scripture because it's so good. And here's a picture of Elijah right here in his cave. And it says this, starting in verse 9. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was there, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. And then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I love that story. A powerful wind, an earthquake, fire. Finally, the gentle whisper. It wasn't magnificent. It wasn't a big neon sign. In that whisper, Elijah knew it was the Lord speaking to him. And I believe he knew it was the Lord's voice because he knew what the Lord's voice sounded like. He had spent time with God in the scriptures, in prayer. God had spoken to him. And Elijah was able to keep those other voices at bay and hear the Lord's voice first and foremost. God showed up in the still, in the quiet, when he had Elijah's attention. You know, I think about the times when I've expected God to speak in my life, and oftentimes I expect it to be big. I expect the earthquake. I expect the thunder. I want it to be that flashing neon sign that says, Brent, I want you to do this. when God speaks in my life, more often than not, it's in that whisper. And it's a whisper that I miss if I'm not listening for it. So back to the question, how does God speak to us today? I believe that God speaks to us all the time through a variety of things. I believe God speaks through the very created order of the world. We had a moment in Colorado, and this has happened to me a couple times in the same spot, so I'm starting to think there's something kind of unique about it. There's a place up in the park where a lake had broke up in the mountains and washed all these boulders down the mountainside. And every time I've been there in the last few years, we end up sitting on these rocks, and the sun will break through the clouds in just a certain way, and it looks like you can touch the beams of light coming down into this valley. To me, those are those moments where I'm like, all right, you're here, and I get that, because you're making yourself known. I believe God speaks to us through creation. Romans speaks about that as well. I believe that the Lord speaks to us through Scripture still. The pages are written, the words don't change, but when we read this, anybody ever read your Bible? And when you read something you've read before, it says something different to you based on what it is you're going through. God speaks to us through the Scriptures constantly, constantly speaking to us through the Scriptures. God speaks to us through His community, right? God uses His people to speak His truth into our lives. God is with us. God's Spirit, the presence of God, whispers into our lives as well. And for me, prayer is where God speaks most clearly. And this is something that I've come to in the past few years of my life. I listened to a sermon a while back, and the guy speaking said something to the effect of, when I pray, I'll ask God a question. Basically, Lord, what do you have for me today? And I'll wait. And I'll listen. And he said, sometimes the Lord's quiet. Sometimes He speaks. More often than not, it's one thing, or it's a phrase. And I'll ask, Lord, what is it that, is this really what you have? And I'll wait, and I'll wait. And I'm listening to the sermon, I'm thinking, man, is it really that easy? You know, I think about all the times I've prayed, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk, and I talk. So finally one day I decided to try this. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. Lord, what do you have? And I waited. Sure enough, a word popped into my head. And I thought, really? Yes. Or no. And my prayer life is taking kind of a radical turn. And believe me, it's a little uncomfortable to stand up here and tell you that I feel like there's more often than not that the Lord will speak to me in words. It's not an audible voice that I hear, but rather it's when I get myself to a place where my ears and my heart and my mind all kind of sync up and they're open to what it is that He might have to say. And I'll ask that very question, Lord, what do you have for me today? In preparing for Colorado, in getting ready for our Colorado trip, I'm praying. I'm like, all right, Lord, you know, this is going to be a great trip. Would you get us ready for what's about to happen? I said, do you have anything for me? One word, prepare. Prepare? What do you mean? You're talking about prepare. We got everything bought. The vans are going to be loaded up tomorrow. No worries. We're going to be fine. Prepare. And it was interesting to see how that word carried through the entire week. In the midst of going on this trip, you know, we had something happen at home to where Carrie wasn't able to go on the trip. She was supposed to be one of my chaperones. You know, we saw some pretty phenomenal things happen in the hearts and lives of a few of the students who were on this trip. Things that I believe the Lord was saying, get ready for, because this is going to be big down the road. Prepare. And I can tell you this is happening more and more often in my life, where I'll ask, what do you have? And the word that comes is a word that will carry through and speak directly to something that I'm either dealing with in the moment or something that is about to come up in my life that I need to be ready for. It's a little unnerving. And there's times that I hear stuff, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to hear that right now. But He does what He does. And if He asks the question, be prepared for the answer, right? Here's the thing. Prayer for me is the way that the Lord speaks most clearly. It's different for everyone. Carrie and I have had these conversations at home, you know. She'll say, I wish that I would hear like you do. But for her, it's music. The Lord speaks very clearly to her through song. For me, I get distracted. I listen to the guitar tones and I listen to how the music sounds and I miss out on the message sometimes of what His Lord has to say. For you, it might be scripture. For you, it might be the voice of the Lord through other people. The beautiful thing about faith and the beautiful thing about being people is that the Lord will speak to each of us uniquely. But the Lord is speaking to each of us all the time. And I believe that. I believe that to the very bottom of my heart. Where it begins to fall apart, I think, is on our end. Where we sometimes fail to listen. Or we allow those other voices to distract us. Or we allow the things of life to get in the way. And frankly, the biggest piece of the Lord speaking to us is that we've got to be listening for it. If you can't hear His voice, again, back to the first question, ask. Ask to hear that voice. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you. And remember that these things can all work together as well. You know, if you feel like the Lord is saying to you, this is something that you really need to do, well, does it match up with what the Scriptures say? Run it past someone who's part of God's community that you trust. You know, don't be afraid to let these things, you know, mesh together, because I believe when we do that, then it gets easier and easier to discern that it's the Lord's voice and not ours. When we're constantly listening for His voice, seeking to hear Him in our lives, it becomes easier to know when it's His voice speaking and not our own. And, you know, along the lines of listening, one more short story before we wrap it up here. I learned a pretty powerful lesson in listening and involved a fire hydrant here at Zion here a couple weeks back. You know, with the gardens out there, we got this water tank, right? And Paul, you might remember this. And so somebody said to me, hey, you know what, you need to learn how to fill up this water tank. It'd be really good to have a couple people who know how to do this. Well, okay, no problem. There's a little yellow toolbox that's got a wrench, and you go and you unscrew the hydrant and hook the hoses up and you know, fill up the water tank. So there was I think it was a Tuesday night, and I decided, yeah, I can do this. I'll go fill up the water tank. And I get here at 6:30 one night, beautiful sunny evening, get the water all turned on. I'm like, yeah, this is no problem. I got this. Well, when I was getting walked through the process, I wasn't really paying that good of attention. The guy was talking, and I was like, unscrew, no problem, I got this. Well, hydrant was on for a couple hours, and finally, you know, it was 8:30, and I thought, well, kids are going to bed. I'm going to run up and turn that hydrant off. And I get back up here, and it's, you know, sunset, and it's a beautiful evening, and I walk out there, and I had left my cell phone at home, thankfully, and I take the wrench, and I go, and I crank the hydrant down as far as it'll go, thinking, all right, water's off. And I'm thinking, why is there still water coming out of this thing? Well, there's got to be pressure in the line, and once I get it all unscrewed, the water will just kind of run out, and it'll be fine. So I lean down, I'm kneeling down in the dirt out there on the street, and unscrewing the hose that hooks the hydrant to the water meter. Three turns, and all of a sudden this thing busts loose. And this chunk of hose, this long, metal thing on the end, just flapping like a fish, wild animal all over the place, water everywhere. Now keep in mind, I was down like this when it unhooked. Imagine a fire hydrant spraying directly on you, you know, focusing a little hose like this. I've never been so wet in my entire life. No lie. Even taking showers, I was soaked instantly. It was the craziest thing. And I freaked out. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? What am I going to do? And so I just panic, and I can't even think straight because there's water everywhere and it's mud. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I broke the hydrant. This, you know, the church is going to kill me. John's going to kill me. The city is going to kill me. I don't even know what's happening. So I'm like, okay, I got to go call somebody, because my phone, of course, was at home on the counter. And I drive up to the church, soaking wet, covered in mud, and Paul Zietlow comes walking to the office. And he chuckles a little bit. He goes, can I help you? And I'm like, I don't think so. And so Paul leaves. And it's fine. He couldn't have helped me anyways. And I try calling Matt, who knew what was going on. No answer. Like, you got to be kidding me. I try calling Al Hopp. Not home. Like, for Pete's sake, all the people I can think of that can actually help me are gone. What is going on? And so finally, I'm like, okay, I got to go back out and figure this out. And go back out there, and the hose is spraying all over the place. It's just like a lake out there now. Man, I finally get up there. I'm like, okay, the only thing I can think of is that I turned it the wrong direction. I know I did it how I was shown how to do it, but I must have turned it wrong. So I get the wrench and hook it to the top of the hydrant and lean back as far as I can, because remember the hose flapping, flapping, flapping. I can hear it dinging on the hydrant. I'm like, oh gosh, it's going to kill me if it hits me in the head. And then two turns, hose dies. Water's off. Like, you've got to be kidding me. I turned it the wrong direction. And I'm thinking, this is not right. How did I mess this up? Went out a couple of days later because the same gentleman said, no, you got to get back on that horse. You got to get out there and do that hydrant again because, you know, you can't be afraid of this thing. I'm like, I'm not doing this again. Are you crazy? Go back out there one morning, and I get to looking at the hydrant. And right there on the top, I would have noted this, it says, open to the left, right? Close. No, it's the other way around. It was backwards headed. So in my defense, it's a righty open, lefty closey, and that doesn't rhyme, so you can't really say it that well. But here's the thing: if I would have looked, if I would have listened, if I would have paid attention to the instructions right in front of me, I would have avoided making a tremendous mess. Here's the thing: God is speaking to us all the time, always about things, right? When it comes to that prayer question, sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes God answers our prayers with yes. Sometimes He answers those prayers with no. And sometimes God says, wait. Right? We can hear the voice of the Lord more clearly if we pay attention to what it is that He's given us. You know, the things we pray for, the things we wonder about, the things we doubt. You know, God is speaking to us and speaking into our lives about these things all the time, right? Our job is to pay attention to what it is that He's given us, to be listening to the different ways that He speaks to us, and to let His voice be the one that influences us the most. And so then, it brings us to the end this morning. At the core of all of these questions, I think, is faith. And the addendum question that I have written down here was, how do you define faith? That came in with that prayer question. Here's the thing. Faith is at the core of all the questions that we've answered, that we talked about this morning. It takes faith to hear God speaking. It takes ears that believe that He can speak through a book. It takes faith to believe that when you ask, Lord, what do you have for me? That He'll actually answer you. It takes faith to believe that God is there with us even when we cannot see Him, when we can't feel Him, when we don't feel like we hear His voice. Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. To hear God's voice in a sea of competing voices takes faith. It takes ears that are tuned in to what Jesus has to say, even when we're not always sure that He's there. We can learn to hear Him, but I believe it takes faith to guide that process. It's a pretty big leap to say, Lord, will you speak to me? And then to believe that He will. It takes faith to believe that the desert of doubt will end, and that He is with you, guiding you through it. That in a season of doubt, your faith in Him will carry you through and carry you near to Him once more. Faith truly is believing that Jesus is real, that He will keep His word, and that He has not left us alone. Faith helps us hear Him. Faith helps us believe. And I believe faith is what gives us the ability to ask those hard questions, to seek out answers to those questions, and to keep running hard after Him every day. So before I pray, thanks so much. I'm excited about this, and I'm not going to lie, this is going to be a little kind of hodgepodge as we go through. You know, sometimes the questions don't exactly match up, but maybe instead of just cohesiveness all the way through, maybe kind of a scattershot approach might be kind of fun for a change. So thank you for the opportunity to do this. And know too, the question box is going to live right here. If you've got questions that are not getting answered, or if you've got questions you'd like to add on or as follow-ups, you can drop them in the box. And if we don't get them from the front, I'll do my best to answer them at some point coming up in the near future. So let's do this. Let's pray, and we'll head to communion. Father, we thank you for speaking. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for loving us. And God, we thank you that you want us. You want us with our faith and with our doubt. And Lord, you want us to follow you. And Jesus, would you speak to us today? Give us a sense of your presence. God, through church. God, through communion. Father, would you be glorious? Would you be glorified in our midst? In Jesus' name, amen.
And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.